Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast, featuring comic book, movie, and video game news and reviews. And now your hosts, AJ and Martin.
At long last, welcome back to Forbidden Panels Panelcast, episode 114. This is AJ, and I'm here with Martin.
Hey, guys.
This week, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to be going over a lot of the news that came out of WonderCon. We've got some book releases that we want to talk about. We're going to be talking about some TV shows that we had a chance to watch, as well as the normal news blurbs and stuff that we have that we normally insert into our show. Martin's got a little bit of an editorial that he wants to talk about, get off his chest, a little feelings he's got going on there.
Feelings.
And, yeah, that and a lot more. So needless to say, this is going to be somewhat of a long show, so you might want to sit back and relax, pull the car off the freeway, light up a cigarette, and just get ready for us to, you know, have oral diarrhea at you. All that and more when we come back from our first break.
Hey, everybody. This is Lou Guevara, and I invite you to take a look at my stuff at ForbiddenPanel.com, and you can also hit me up on Facebook at RibsComics at Facebook.com, and you can take a look at my blog spot at RibsComics at Blogspot.com, and I hope to see you guys there.
And we're back with the oral diarrhea, which I still haven't gotten over since before the break. But, yeah, let's get to that oral diarrhea.
At least the word taste in your mouth.
Oh, it's only getting worse. And you guys were just starting the show. To kick off our return back to the air, we are going to start with the news. The big news, there was actually a lot of big news this week. One of the biggest things I read about all week was the release, finally, of the Marvel Avengers Steel Case Phase 1 set. It came in that really cool case that looked like it was carrying the cube and had all kinds of extras and goodies with it, including things like the Captain America trading cards, a lot of concept art posters, a little bit of a featurette on Iron Man 3, and some of the stuff that started to come out later were GIFs or trailers, little bit trailers of the Marvel Phase 2 movie. So there was some in there from Thor, Part 2, The Dark World, some for Iron Man, a little bit of concept art showing the Falcon from Captain America 2, Captain America leaping from a plane, and then what possibly could be the look of the Winter Soldier from Captain America 2.
Did it also include that little blurb from Ant-Man that they showed at Con?
Yes, that was in there too. It had leaked a couple weeks prior to the release of the box set, but it was officially released with the DVD set. And still looks as awesome as it did at San Diego last year and when it got released online last year. Really looking forward to hearing more about that movie, and I think that's what Marvel's going to bring to San Diego and to their D23 convention this year.
Now, did you get the box set?
I did not. I bought the DVD or the Blu-ray when the movie first came out. I figure, wait a little while, the box set will probably drop about $50 on Amazon, and then I'll pick it up.
Yeah, see, I gotta wonder and question Marvel's timing on this release. I think they probably did it on purpose, if only more to show their defiance toward WonderCon, because this set came out in the middle of WonderCon, and I don't know about anybody else, but all my money went to WonderCon, and I just couldn't afford to buy this. It was one or the other. So I think, again, to spit in the face of WonderCon, they're like, hey, you can dress in costumes and go look at this stuff, or you can buy Phase 1 box set. So, I don't know. I could be a little too conspiracy theory in this, but, you know,
it's interesting about the delay. Right. It was one of those things that they released a whole lot of news with it. It wasn't information that was old. It wasn't things that came on the Blu-ray box set. It wasn't like you – because with this set, you also got all of the Phase 1 movies.
Right.
So you got Iron Man 1 and 2 and all that. And so, you know, it wasn't like it was something brand new they were releasing, but all of the little extras that came with it were brand new, where a lot of, except for the Ant-Man, was mostly stuff we hadn't seen yet. And so it was, like you're saying, it was almost like a news conference by releasing this and just saying, here's all this whole new stuff. By the way, we're not showing any of this at WonderCon.
Right.
Which I'll bring up a little bit later. But that's really what it was. It was here, let's get ready for Phase 2, and here's a whole bunch of awesome shit. Including things for Guardians of the Galaxy, which we haven't heard a lot about we haven't seen a lot about. We've heard a lot about it, and that leads into my next news story with Zoe Saldana being cast as Gamora in Guardians of the Galaxy, which one of the female characters that we will be seeing in the movie. She's currently getting ready to star in the new Star Trek sequel coming out in May. But this was huge news for comic book fans who are big followers of Zoe's. And to bring a female character front and center during all of these casting rumors for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Now, I completely lost my train of thought because I was drinking my Trenta. But
and I said Zoe Saldana. Yeah.
No, I've got no love for Zoe Saldana. I'm sorry, but you know she keeps getting cast in roles that it's like John Cho showing up as a Japanese samurai somewhere. He's fucking Korean. She's Puerto Rican. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm over her. But
well, after they cast Bautista for in the movie, I got a little disappointed with the way the casting was going for this. So I like Zoe. I think she's at least a step up from Bautista, but we'll have to see what else they do with the rest of the cast.
I'm not excited at all for that. But all that, you know, the box set release and all that stuff sounds like a great opportunity and excuse for movies at the clubhouse before Iron Man
3. Yes.
Just to watch all that stuff once again. Moving on to news, a brief press release was given out stating that Marvel Comics has announced a July launch for Superior Spider-Man number 1, written by Chris Yost and artist David Lopez. How this is different from the current series is that this is their new team-up, where they were having the Avenging Spider-Man and Marvel team-up and all that before. Superior Spider-Man will now be the new team-up with Doc Ock in charge. So here's how the book is described. There's only one thing that's on the mind of Superior Spider-Man when he encounters the heroes of the Marvel Universe. How can he beat them? First on his list, the Avengers. So Paulo Rivera provides the cover for the first issue. I have not read Superior Spider-Man since the initial first two issues came out. However, it wasn't for lack of enjoyment. It's just due to time constraints. I am enjoying what I've read of the series and kind of looking forward to seeing how he interacts with everybody else.
It's been fun to see it happening in several of the books, not just Superior Spider-Man. He's actually been a star across Marvel now these last couple months. And, you know, to give him a team-up again is really cool. It was actually one of the better books, I thought, back of Peter Parker's Spider-Man was the Avenging Spider-Man team-ups and the books that they did like that, where they brought in new characters every month to team them up with.
And it's one of the things that helped in the blossoming relationship between Johnny Storm and Spider-Man. Like, they became best friends due to that. So it'd be interesting to see. I would like to see if they do an Ultimate Spider-Man team-up. I think that would be kind of cool. So, what else you got, Martin?
Well, for comics, as many of you know, we lost Damian Wayne in the Batman comic book series, the most current Robin.
Which is bullshit. And
it was of all the Robins to not kill. Why would you kill the little kid, the youngest of all of them so far?
Why would you kill the badass one?
And that was my next point. He was also the one that was the most, I think, violent in the best kind of way for a Robin character. And so to see him go was really sad. And there's been all kinds of rumors flying around as to who's going to be coming on to take over the Robin post. And what's been really going on in Batman 17, 18, 19, we've seen the end of Death and Family series with Joker. And now we're kind of in a Requiem, remembrance sort of book with across all Batman stories where they're all remembering Damon and how they interacted with Damon. And as it's going to come up in Batman and Robin is Bruce Wayne is going to come across a friend of Damien, someone that knew Damien out of the world, out of his Robin powers, you know, just knew him as a kid. Her name is Carrie Kelly, which may be a remembrance. People have heard that name before from previous DC Universe books, but she will be coming back in a whole new way, and not necessarily be Robin right off the bat. She is a college kid who's got spunk and speaks her mind. But this is not an alternate Earth Robin. This is simply a girl. So they're not confirming nor denying that she's the new Robin, but it's not Robin.
What's with DC and their alliteration of characters' names? Seriously.
Well, the spelling is not alliteration. It's Carrie with a C, Kelly with a K. But the sound, you are correct, yes, is they're going after that Marvel thing, I think, you know. They figure Stan Lee's close enough to the the heaven side, that they can start taking his alliteration skills.
Well, honestly, no. DC's the one that started it. Clark Kent, Lana Lang, Lois Lane. You know, it's always been in the DC side. Stan Lee just ran with it for a little bit, but it's always it came from DC. So, Wally West, you know.
That's interesting. So she'll be coming up in Batman and Robin number 19, and then another book that I've been following, Batman Inc. number 8, which I believe you have a little bit of info on that.
Yes, actually. Batman Incorporated number 13 is actually the last issue. They're getting one final go-around with Grant Morrison and Chris Burnham on Batman Incorporated in July, and will be canceled as of issue 13. So, but it will be a combo pack. It'll come out as a combo pack edition with a redemption code for the digital download and all that. So, yeah.
I don't know why they brought it back just to kill it, 13 issues. I mean, it barely lasted a year when they brought it back. But it was struggling before the DC 52 as well.
But,
it just struggled too much.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, Batman 21, which will be coming out shortly, will be also the first issue of Year Zero.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very interested in that storyline. Hopefully it'll be almost as good as the Judge Dredd Year Zero that I'm currently reading.
I think that the Batman series, would be too much. There are a lot. Batman and Robin, The Dark Knight, we have Batman Detective Comics, we have Batgirl, Batwing, Batwoman, Red Robin, Nightwing, Red Hood kind of counts, Red Hood and the Outlaws kind of counts, but I mean, that's 10 books. So
it's the new X-Men.
Yeah, so if you take out Batman Inc., that takes away one, and they're going to roll in Batman Year Zero, I guess, in its place, really. So, I mean, they're going to be close to a dozen books here pretty quick. And the rumors of a Superman-Batman team-up book are coming and are supposed to be announced this summer. So there's a lot of Batman going on.
Which is
going
to be hard to do considering World's Finest is already out there
with
Huntress and I forgot who the other person was.
Power Girl.
So it'll be kind of awkward. But
yeah. So they just, it's, you know, DC 52, they win the monthly ratings and they keep going for about a year. And then when they start to tank, they get rid of them and just bring something else in its place instead of trying to keep the rest of their issues all at the top of the charts.
Well, that's what the whole point of, Marvel and DC launching these little new 52s in Marvel Now is to rebrand them, give them a try, and if it fails, then screw it, cut them loose. It's how they're able to cut the fat and learn what works for them and what doesn't work for them, as opposed to just, you know, killing massively long ongoing series. There's no harm in losing Batman Incorporated at issue 13.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no investment. That's a year. That's a trade paperback. Boom, done. Yeah. So,
but for like Batman Incorporated, I've bought every single issue. Whereas if I knew it was only going to last a year, I would just bought the trade paperback. It's not collectible in the terms of buying it as a hard copy issue month to month and having some special issue. There hasn't been anything spectacular about it, except for they came out with a new number one. But they had also come out with a new number one the year prior. So it was... You know, the series has been out twice now. Both times lasted less than a year. Kind of makes me want to hold off on buying into these new issues, at least until a year.
Yeah, it just seems like kind of pointless.
So, hopefully, I mean, I'm really excited about Batman Year Zero, but as they start to add things like Batman-Superman team-ups, or they're going to... Batwing is now in its second iteration. They've actually got a new Batwing going on there. I'm not going to run out to buy it off their shelves. I'm going to wait a little bit and eventually buy the trade paperback.
Yeah, it just seems pointless at this time. Moving on.
And then there was a lot of news on the Marvel S.H.I.E.L.D. front. I think you've got something on that first, right?
Yes, ABC has listed the upcoming S.H.I.E.L.D. show on their media planning and buying resource, All Access. If you weren't convinced that this show was getting a full series order before, you should be now. There's not much media planning buying to be done with a show without a show to air. The listing includes a full blurb as well as a fuller title. The show's officially name is Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The blurb goes something like this. Joss Whedon shows us not all heroes are super with the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fresh from his role in the summer box office smash, Marvel's The Avengers, Agent Phil Coulson returns to worldwide law enforcement organization S.H.I.E.L.D. He puts together a small, highly trained team of agents to tackle the cases that haven't been classified yet. The new, the strange, and the unknown. The team consists of Straight Arrow agent Grant Ward, an expert in combat and espionage, pilot and martial artist agent Melinda May, and brilliant if socially awkward scientist Adrian Leo Fitz and Gemma Simmons. They'll be joined by civilian new recruit and computer hacker Sky. I'm excited about the show. I think it'll be cool, but it has a very Buffy feel to it because of the whole villain of the week and whatnot, you know. But it's executive produced and co-written by Joss Whedon, Chad Whedon, and Marissa, I'm not even going to bother with her last name, all of whom had worked on Dollhouse, Dr. Horrible, Sing Along Blog, and, hey, Buffy, Angel, Alias. In fact, it's the whole team from what I'm seeing. Jeffrey Bell, Jeff Loeb. Yeah, it's
very funny you say that, because the news I had about it was an Angel alumni and a Buffy alumni, J. August Richards, who played Gunn on Angel, fans will remember, has now joined the cast as well.
Yeah, I saw that also.
And it's like, you know, it's just another person coming over from the Whedon alumni cast to join the show as well. I'm wondering how long before we start to get characters from Dollhouse on there, or how long before Sarah Michelle Gellar needs a return to TV.
Hey, you know what? If it gives Eliza Dushku a job, bring her on board.
J. August Richards has joined the cast in a secret role, which they haven't given away yet. I'm wondering if he's going to be getting to be on the evil side of things, since he was such a goody-two-shoe, so to speak, on Angel. Maybe they'll put him on the dark side in this secret role.
That's right.
Yeah. What happens if it becomes the villain of the week, and he, you know, if he's going to have a long reoccurring role, how are they going to do villains of the week? How are they going to be doing these storylines that can stretch across half a season?
Well, especially my concern at this point is if they're doing a villain of the week, how many of those villains will incorporate actual Marvel villains?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to have to make up new characters? If so, can we submit new characters? Or, you know, how is all that going to work out? And which means a lot of guest starring roles, so all these out-of-work actors will be showing up randomly. So we could very well see every single person from Whedonverse show up as the guest villain of the week. So, yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to see. I'm excited for it. I mean, it seems kind of cool. I'm betting that, you know, Coulson was a life model decoy, and that's what we're dealing with, or now he's a holographic fucking trainer, like Cerebro, you know? So
yeah.
Or Cerebro, yeah. Sorry.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes. I'm also waiting. I have a feeling either, well, they'll probably save it for D23, but hopefully for San Diego, we'll see a pilot of this, and Samuel L. Jackson guest starring at least in the pilot of it would be cool.
Well, it's already been said that he will show up, he will cameo every now and then.
Oh, yeah. You know, when ratings drop, they're going to have to bring in Mark Ruffalo, Robert Downey Jr., you know, that one guy that played the bow and arrow guy, and... No, Jeremy Renner is awesome, but you know you're gonna start to see the Avengers actually pop on. I think when the ratings start to drop a little bit, or right before a movie release, they'll pop on.
Right.
I think in the show, and that'll just be a way for Marvel and Disney to plug it a little bit more and to help boost ratings.
So that's all I had for news. Did you have anything else?
No, that's all I've got.
Awesome. Why don't we go ahead and take a quick break? When we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit more about WonderCon.
Hi, this is Vanessa with Blackbird Bows, inviting you to visit my website at blackbirdbows.com, where you can find 100% original and customized bows for every occasion. That's blackbirdbows.com.
And welcome back. So in this segment, Martin has a little bit of personal feelings he would like to express.
About WonderCon, we should clarify, because if I start expressing personal feelings just in general... could be a long show.
I can have to charge you by the hour. In fact, the whole audience will have to charge you by the hour.
No, I'm a robot. I have no real personal feelings, so it's okay. We'll be good. No, WonderCon was in Anaheim for its second year in a row. Moscone Center issues up in San Francisco, pushed it back to maintain its Anaheim Disneyland Association. And this year they came back bigger, I think, than they were in previous years. The exhibit hall floor had been expanded enormously. They had gotten bigger rooms, and they took over the arena at the Anaheim Convention Center, which is a large theater-style stage up front venue to host their bigger panels, which is really cool, and it's an awesome way to see a lot of the movie panels and the TV show panels that they did. So the setup overall was great. They redone the plaza since last year, and so the entryway to the convention center had become a huge hangout area with a giant fountain. The city of Anaheim allowed 5 food trucks to pull up every day and feed the attendees.
Genius. It was genius,
I know, right? It was great to have additional opportunities besides the hotel, little commons, cafeteria areas that they had that were always crowded, or from walking across the street, leaving the convention center area. They were able to stay close, get food, and get back in. And the convention was letting people take food and drinks in and out, which was really cool. But overall, I thought the show was kind of eh. I didn't think that they tried very hard. I think it was just, let's put a show on. Issues like Marvel not showing up or Disney and Star Wars not being present at all seems a little silly. Of course, Disney puts on their every other year convention. D23 in August this year, so they scaled back what shows they're going to appear at, but I found it interesting that Marvel now is so big and they're not present at all, and they're constantly launching books every month now from number one issues, so you would think that they would be there to promote and to at least talk about it, whereas DC Comics and Dark Horse were the two biggest comic book publishers there talking nonstop about it, and that's not to say that they were the only ones talking. There were smaller booths from smaller publishers, including Forbidden Panel, as well as a few others who were there, and they actually hosted panels and talked about their books, and it was really cool. Lion Forge Comics brought in this big state-of-the-art booth to the exhibit hall room and actually put their name out big time for the weekend, so that was cool. Walking the floor took about 2 hours, going aisle by aisle all the way across. And that was nice to see a lot of options. But there wasn't a lot of purchasing going on. I didn't see anything when I was walking the aisles that I absolutely had to have. And autographs with the celebrities that were on the floor were kind of overpriced. And for the most part, I walked away with a couple posters, a couple art print posters from some of the artists in Artist Alley. But other than that, I didn't see much else being purchased for the weekend. There were places like the Forbidden Panel booth, of course, comic books, and things like that, but you didn't see people buying action figures at the retailer booths. I didn't see a lot of people buying brand new t-shirts or carrying around a lot of bags from the superherostuff.com people or things like that. The We Love Fine booth with the My Little Pony t-shirts and messenger bags and things like socks and ties that they're doing, they were getting purchased, but it was their normal, usual amount, and it was typically the older guys buying them for their little kids that they were toting along. So it just, to me, it seemed a little downplayed than it could have been for being a con that's related to San Diego. I would think that they would have brought their game a little bit more. But that, you know, panels were super easy to get into if you didn't mind waiting a little bit in the line. You didn't always get the best seats at the panel, but you could get into pretty much anything you wanted to, including the sold-out Saturday panels with Pacific Rim and Evil Dead with Bruce Campbell at the end of the day. Those were still easy to get into. They did fill up the arena, but they were filling it up until the panel started every time. So I just, you know, WonderCon seemed a lot like Kamikaze or Long Beach Comic Con from last year, where they didn't put a whole lot of effort. They just put it out there and hyped it up a little bit, but didn't deliver for what they charge or what they should be delivering as that big a company. You know, if you're gonna encourage people who can't get tickets to San Diego to come to WonderCon, at least host a San Diego-esque show, especially at that venue.
See, I felt the opposite. I thought for $40, it was an awesome show. You know, I was on the floor the whole time. I didn't get to make it to any of the panels or anything like that. However, I was on the floor behind the booth. I saw the excitement in everybody's eyes. I heard the comments that everybody was saying, oh, man, this is great. I'm so glad this is here. I hope this is here next year. There was just everybody on the floor, without exception of you, seemed to have a fantastic time and really, really liked it. So I think maybe definite mixed feelings in that regard, but you are right in one regard. I didn't see a lot of comic books being walked around with. However, I did not see a lot of comic books for sale.
Yeah.
The Artist Alley was packed. bigger than you know, most years that I've seen it. But you know, on the floor, you know, the floor was separated into two sections. Well, three technically. There was a four if you think about it. There was one section that was the Artist Alley small press. Very big chunk of the floor was taken up by that. The other section was video games and Oblivion. The Oblivion spaceship was down there. Bunch of video games you could play. There was even a setup for Star Trek. The bridge of the Star Trek was set up so you can get your picture taken on the bridge of the Enterprise. And then there was the swap meet side. And by swap meet, I mean it's, you know, it's where you go, you can fill in issues that you were missing out of your collection. There's all these action figures, all these toys, costuming, stuff like that. So I saw the, all these different sections going on, but still felt happy. Like, I was happy with this show to see that it had grown more than any of the other WonderCons that I had been to. However, it wasn't so big that it was overrun by Twihards and you know, little teeny bopper kids running around. The cosplayers were fantastic.
Yes, definitely the biggest highlight, I think, of the whole
thing. The floor was just packed with cosplayers all over the place. And on top of that, the way that the Anaheim Convention Center had changed its layout, it was perfect for them. There's a big fountain out in the front area now where there used to be just a drive-through. And it just allowed it for tons of cosplayers to get up there and great picture opportunities and all these other wonderful things. And so I thought in that aspect, you know, Anaheim and fans stepped up. They, like, saw that this was coming and just stepped up like crazy, and I thought it was fantastic the way it happened. So, and I'm the complete opposite of what you saw. I loved WonderCon. I've always loved WonderCon. It always remained to be my favorite thing, my favorite show. And for $40 for 3 days, you can't argue with that. And the convenience and as close as it was, you know, I can't wait to do it again next year. And as a vendor, as a guy at the booth, our location, you could not argue with our location. We're sitting next to Dark Horse, Skybound, all these big-name booths all around us, and here we are smack dab in the middle. We got great traffic, wonderful customers coming up, smiling, laughing, having fun with us. And I had to give it up for the ZKS cosplayers and the Zombie Queen and her court. They couldn't walk 3 feet without getting stopped for pictures. And everybody that was included in that seemed to have a great time. So, yeah, I loved WonderCon. I thought it was fantastic.
And I think my bias is a little bit based on the fact that I attend so many shows a year, and so I can compare them a little bit differently. I think definitely for first-time attendees, this looks like an awesome show. Like you were saying, the cosplay was phenomenal this year. And that fountain, no joke, they were taking pictures of like 100 people dressed at the same time in big group shots.
Right, and some people wouldn't awesome. Make it into the show. I mean, they'd just sit out there and take pictures all day.
Yeah, there were people there outside all day. And then food trucks and music playing. The outside venue was awesome.
The smartest thing ever. And I'm sure they got a cue from last year at San Diego Con having their little food truck Django Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle section off to the side.
Yeah.
So they allowed that to happen. And, I mean, the food was still jacked up more than you would normally pay, but it wasn't like you were paying movie theater prices either. It just felt like you were paying Anaheim prices.
Right,
you know?
And you weren't paying for Anaheim prices for a hot dog like you do at Disneyland or things like that. It was actually interesting food choices.
Right. I mean, these are like Food Network food trucks. You know,
yeah.
This food was great. The hotels were great. The all the little stuff that they had going on the side. I loved it. And I've been, you know, I'm 39 years old. I've been to a gajillion conventions all over the place. And this had to be, I mean, it was hard to walk around. I will admit that. It was San Diego Comic-Con crowds walking around. But at the same time, and maybe it's because I had a booth, but I never felt more comfortable at a con than I do at WonderCon. And also, you know...
Having a booth, did you feel like it was much more organized by Comic-Con International?
Honestly, yeah. Because, I mean, it was very definitive as to where your locations were, what was what, where it was, and it kind of styled it in that manner. Granted, I felt bad for those Artist Alley people in small press because they were kind of put off to the side. But I'm sorry, I don't mean to be crass and rude at this point, but you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You know, when you pay the lowest prices that they offer for a table, then you can't expect them to put you center stage in the front row.
Yeah.
They're going to put the big money makers there because they know that those people not only paid big money for the space, but want to make big money in return. So that's why they put them there. I mean, DC Entertainment was the first thing you saw when you walked in the door. And that,
right.
You know, they pay to have that spot. So, yeah, and the fact that there was a food court dead center in the middle of WonderCon with a patio and the whole nine, I thought that was a fantastic use of that space. You know, and
yeah.
So I don't know, I dug it. You know?
It seemed very well organized this year, which I found impressive. I think that the line, like there was that first day that they opened up and everybody ran for the graffiti booth.
Right.
Right next where you guys were. To get that WonderCon t-shirt by Jim Lee, and the line just went down the wall.
Line was not for that t-shirt.
Yeah. It was
for the DC collectibles. If you wanted a t-shirt, you just told them, and they gave it to you right then and there. Everyone thought the line was for the t-shirt, so they got pissed off when they got up to the front. But the line was for the collectibles.
Yeah, but the fact that line got so long, and it didn't get chaotic.
Right.
They kept it in order. They had volunteers standing with signs. It was very clear. It was easy to see where I was going walking the exhibit hall floor. I could look in any direction and see what number aisle I was on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could all the map was really helpful to see like where everybody was, so it was easy to place them when you walked in. Where the convention rooms were for the panels was really well marked, and they did a good job of putting the schedules out front of them. Short of security, which I seem to always have a problem with, or I just find the biggest asshole every year on the security teams. But everybody else just seemed so on top of their game this year.
Yeah.
And they were checking badges, and it wasn't slowing the process down. Like, everything was just going great.
Yeah, and everything, I mean, except for pro badges, and I think the actual attendee badges, everything else was right there in front of your face. But at the same time, to get your badges, you went to a separate building downstairs. So it wasn't like Comic-Con where you got to cut through a line of bitter bitches and that have been there for like, you know, hours at a time to go enjoy the show. It was like in a separate location, which I thought was fantastic.
And they ran it really well. They were letting in groups of people at a time to keep the line from not getting too crowded inside or too noisy. They were getting badges in and out really fast. It was great.
Yeah.
Organization-wise, I thought it was amazing.
But
so I just think number of panels and walking the exhibit hall floor, like you said, that swap meet side, like I walked that thing a couple times every day, and just there was nothing that jumped out at me. I was looking for some specific books or a t-shirt or two, and nothing popped out or nothing jumped out to walk away with. Artist Alley, I spent a lot of time talking to people and actually did flip through books and bought some prints. That's always one of my favorite spots now on a con. And yeah, they were kind of off to the side, but like you said, they do get what they pay for, and it got bigger this year, so there were a lot more people over there.
And I think if the one thing that they need to pay attention to when it comes to laying out Artist Alley, and again, I don't mean this in any type of derogatory term. I got my start off in that Artist Alley. I know what it's like to be out there, and I think it's fantastic that, you know, John Layman is sitting out there with Huffer, Brian Polito, all these people are in Artist Alley, and I think that's an awesome thing to do. But when it comes to layout, they really need to allow for more space between in the aisles.
Right, and having a line and things like that over there.
Because those aisles got clogged up quick. And they also need to recognize who it is they have there. You don't put, you know, John Layman dead center in the middle of smaller named people, because now the line is blocking the other booths and nobody can see past them to see any other pieces of art that they may be missing out on. You know, you put the bigger names toward the end so the line can start there, and after they're done getting that print off of their big name guy, have the opportunity to go on to the lesser known people right away, because that's the exit, you know, and make the aisles wider so that people can still walk through and traverse back and forth in them. I can't tell you how many times I got stuck clogged up in a random artery somewhere just trying to go say hi to a couple friends, you know. And so maybe with that, they need to think about it more. Or just give Artist Alley and Small Press Hall C or something like that. You know, that might be a better idea. But for me personally, because I've run my own convention, I like to see Small Press and Artist Alley mixed in with the big booths.
I think that gives them more opportunity to be seen, to be talked to. You know, companies like ourselves, who's in between Skybound and Dark Horse, people are going to stop by and say, oh, well, what's going on here? Drawing attention to the smaller names, you know, or lesser known names. So, but that's me personally. But if you're going to break it off onto the side, then give them their own big section, give them their own building, because you'll see that building filled up quick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. But I agree with you. I think it's cool to see them mixed in. Maybe they need to make that like an early bird special. If you pay, you know, in the first 2 months or something that they open that registration area, you get like a donut spot in the center of the exhibit hall.
Yeah.
To get mixed in. That would be awesome.
Because, I mean, Pre-War, as fantastic as it was, could have been easily broken up into four artist alley tables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they could have set some people up in there. Granted, I ain't giving up my spot, but I'm just saying, as an example, you know. But, so, yeah, there you have it.
There were... go ahead.
No, after you.
Well, I was just going to say there were a lot of panels and some swag I want to talk about, but...
Well, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break? And during this break, Martin actually had a chance to sit down with Patrick Ian Moore. Why don't you go ahead and give us a bleed into that, and during the break we'll play the interview.
Okay, so Patrick Ian Moore is from the Comic Book Live improv group from the iOS. We've been to a couple of their shows, we've talked about them a couple times, and we've interviewed them before, and they were doing a special appearance at WonderCon, so we sat down and talked to them about what they were doing and what they have coming up. So here's Patrick and myself talking at WonderCon. Hey guys, Martin here from Panelcast, and we are live at WonderCon right now, the end of day two, and I am here with Patrick and Tommy from Comic Book Live, who are hanging out at the Forbidden Panel booth in the exhibit hall. We've had a long couple days. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in there.
Yeah,
doing
really
good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Do your guys' feet hurt as much as mine do?
Yes.
They do. Like, I'm super tired now, and we don't even have to do anything for like a couple more hours.
I don't understand. Some of these people are walking around barefoot in high heels. I am wearing sensible Adidas shoes right now, and I want to die.
I have extra insoles in my shoes that I thought would help, and this floor is killing me.
I wore my jungle boots last night and actually got sore pretty quick. Yeah. Normally I only wear those on stage. I bought new shoes for this convention too.
You got convention shoes?
Convention shoes?
That's adorable.
I mean, that's when I got these.
That's great.
You don't get convention shoes, Tommy?
I didn't go convention shopping this year.
Yeah, no, you gotta do convention shoes every
year. Well, you know, I buy sneakers once a year.
Yeah, when we were kids, we always got hand-me-down convention outfits. It was the worst. So.
Yeah. And what have you guys been checking out at the con so far these last few days?
I have been looking at a lot of old action figures that I had as a child that are... I could relive that experience for a much steeper price now.
Yeah.
I did buy a Jean-Luc Picard action figure for $6.
On the card or open already?
It's closed. It's this.
Oh, awesome. So not just a regular action figure.
I couldn't say no.
Yeah, for $6, that's like a deal.
It called to me, you know?
I love it.
It came with so much extras.
Well, I even brought a Han Solo with me, just so we'd have him in our room.
Just to keep the spirit.
Just to make sure that he's present.
My
a lot of these hotels require tribute to spirits, otherwise they'll get you.
It's a little totem.
And Patrick, have you checked out anything cool the last couple days?
I mean, like, one of my favorite things, I know it's a pretty cliche answer, but the girls in their costumes. A lot of what I've been checking out.
Now, if you guys hung out outside, the thing that I think is really interesting this year is outside, all the cosplayers are hanging out by the fountain.
Yeah,
they're doing the food trucks. Like, it's an event outside
like,
the event.
That fountain is like a light, and it like draws the moth to it. It's amazing.
There was a big, huge DC characters picture, I guess, that was taken sometime today.
I saw it.
It like blew up on Twitter while we were all in the arena.
Yeah.
And
these
guys
are some of my favorites.
Yeah, the twins.
So
those guys are awesome. So it's been a lot of cosplay this weekend, which is really impressive to me. And it's grown from last year to this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot more cosplay this year.
I mean, like, last year was my first time here, and everybody was like, geez, it's so big. It's gotten so much bigger. It's giant now. But it is huge.
Yeah. Someone was telling me it felt like San Diego walking this exhibit all floors as crowded as it was today.
Yeah.
Like, they got those crowds again, which was really cool.
That's great.
So you guys got a big night tonight.
Yeah,
closing out Saturday of Comic-Con with the podcast with Chris Gore and a Comic Book Live performance.
Oh, yeah.
Comic Book Live.
From WonderCon.
Yeah, we're going to be doing Star Wars Episode 7, a little preview to the film.
Very good.
Should be good. Hopefully we'll hopefully we'll offend everyone. That's always kind of our goal, is to have people correct us after the show, people to be a little upset with us, be a little turned on also.
Yeah. Now, we've been following you guys back since last fall as Hachiya Kamikaze. Of course, Tommy's taking on the role of Dr. Vanderhoof.
Yeah.
And you actually took on, as always, the archer of the show, Hawkeye at the time. And
that's kind of how that became a thing.
Yeah.
First, it started with Hawkeye because nobody else wanted to be him. And then I had a bow and arrows.
So yeah, it grew out of us just making Patrick play all the roles no one else wanted to be. But he made lemonade out of it.
Yeah.
And now
the funny thing is all the shows you guys do involve Archer so far. What I'm really intrigued is you guys got this Star Trek show coming up. I really want to see how we're going to incorporate a bow and arrow there.
Yeah, we're going to
I will be rooting for that for the audience.
Wasn't there like a Robin Hood themed episode of Star Trek?
Oh, that's right, where they were in the holodeck?
Yeah. We're going to have to maybe get that going.
There
My Captain Picard is not great, though. I think I only have the few British accents.
I'm
Captain Picard, I am.
Whose
ship is this?
So tonight, you guys, you're doing Star Wars. We saw the Star Wars. You guys are doing a little taste of it.
A little appetizer,
And then you guys have a Star Wars performance coming up May the 4th,
May
Free Comic Book Day.
Hollywood. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's Star Wars Day, Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
It's always Free Comic Book Day at our shows, though.
I've actually gotten some awesome.
Anybody who comes in costume gets a Ghost Rider Spider-Man crossover.
Yeah.
We need to get some new comics, though.
We do need to update our comics, but still.
Hey, no, it's good. And there was a adult rated one. You slipped me the last show.
Yeah, we have some of those.
He must really like
those.
I
took that one home to my room and closed the door for a little bit.
Yeah,
that was a good.
I came up for this convention was the first time I've left since he gave me that comic.
Yeah,
book. It's been great.
I have been looking at comics a lot today too.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to get another copy of What If Sergeant Fury and Italian Commandos had fought their war in space, which was one of my favorite What Ifs as a kid.
Yeah.
And the Batman Houdini Elseworlds crossover. Because I was just talking about that, and I was like, they should make a movie out of that. That'd be a good Kickstarter.
There you go.
Batman Houdini.
Get a couple cameras. You guys could shoot at the iOS, right?
Let's just make that. Yeah. Let's just make these
good
movies.
Good idea. I know.
It'll be like that. Yeah, what was that movie? Be Kind, Rewind. We'll just make all the movies.
There you go. So in addition, you guys, the Star Trek episode's coming up April 20th. That's the next big show, right?
420.
And then May the 4th is Star Wars.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then you guys are going on the road, right?
Yeah, we're going to Phoenix.
Uh-huh. San Jose.
You guys will be in San Jose May, I think, 17th and 18th.
Yep.
I'll be stalking you guys, going to that con, too.
Great.
That's a fun one. I like Big Wow.
So, and then Phoenix, a huge show. That'll be a great place.
That's going to be fun. And we might be doing another side show there at a comedy club as well.
Doing
two shows there. That'll be fun. Then we have, I think we're doing G.I. Joe.
Yeah, G.I. Joe sometime.
At iOS.
And Superman are the two shows this summer we're going to do.
Awesome.
We got stuff going on.
Yeah.
Also,
April
13th, we're at Frankenstein's
Cosplay
Con with Stan Lee.
Yes,
this is just promotion after promotion.
I'll be going to my friend's wedding in June playing the role of groomsman. That's not really a show.
We're also...
You could make it a show.
Tonight we're performing with Adrian Curry for the very first time.
Right. So she'll be a part of the Comic Book Live show after being part of the Podcrash of the panel.
Whether she wants to or not.
I think on Podcrash she's going to win a role in Star Wars Episode 7 and then we will immediately perform it.
That would be awesome. So, and she's herself a self-proclaimed nerd.
For sure.
All right, so...
We also, I ran into Nikki Hunter while we were here.
Oh,
she's here filming Geekgasm with her kids.
Cool.
You've probably seen her in one of our... Oh, she was with us at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
As Black Widow.
It'd be fun.
Cool. And you guys, for the shows, I've noticed you guys have had guests over the last many months. We've seen you guys at different shows. Is that kind of the idea? You guys want to keep that going, or it works out?
I think there's a lot of people who are kind of drawn to the comedy side of it, and if we can get someone who's even tangentially associated with the source material, it's exciting for us, and it's just something different for them to do. It gives them an opportunity to kind of like maybe poke a little fun at something they did, but not really in like throwing dirt in the face of someone who paid them kind of way. It's just, we like that the show isn't really like dependent on guests, but that the guests can really add a nice extra layer to it. That's kind of the goal. We don't ever really want like a guest star who the show is always about. We kind of just want to bring them in for like a cameo and like have them just kind of blend in with the rest of us. Yeah.
But like Chris and Justine started as guests.
Yeah.
And then I think after they did it once, they just became regular.
You guys
guests.
Couldn't get rid of them. They got
yeah.
it like
yeah.
a drug.
Chris moved into my house. It was really weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's,
yeah.
Justine wants nothing to do with me. But Chris,
I keep trying to get her to move
yeah,
into you.
I keep telling her there's plenty of room.
Yeah,
there's not,
know,
but we'll make room.
You can share my bed. It's okay.
Exactly.
You know, I'll sleep on this side. We'll put a pillow between us.
You can sleep in my bed, and I'll sleep on the floor.
And anytime Mika Tan is. We love having her.
Yeah,
she was pretty good. It was Chewbacca
in
the Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah.
It's funny, so far she's only ever played characters that are 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
She was She-Hulk and Chewbacca.
Very cool.
Next, maybe she'll be...
Next she'll be Wilt Chamberlain.
Colossus.
Yeah.
In our Comic Book Live, like, Scooby-Doo episode.
So,
one of the Globetrotters.
I've never seen somebody dressed as, like, sexy Colossus. But now that I'm thinking about it, that would be a really cool costume.
Sexy Colossus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you see, like, Girl Thor and...
Yeah, there's been a lot of the girl versions of costumes here. Deadpool,
yeah.
Thor, Loki.
Yeah.
So I think, like,
oh, the girl
I've seen
Loki
more sexy TARDISes.
Yeah.
Probably than anything else.
I really want to come as the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Like a box or a box and start walking around. Because these dresses, the corset, versions of the TARDIS. That's great. No, it's cool creativity. But I'm just like,
just be the actual TARDIS.
Let's play some respect to the real TARDIS.
Right.
Come on, guys.
That's funny.
I don't like to just have one on my head.
And then
like
stop
box.
In a couple places and squat down and just like
sit there.
Or
still be a sexy TARDIS, but just put a giant bra over the box.
There you go.
So
there you go.
Still kind of
a sexy TARDIS
version
like
of
the bra.
Yeah.
No, I like that.
I could be into that.
I think that, there you go, Tommy. That's your next cosplay.
Look.
Get your convention shoes.
Okay.
And then get a TARDIS.
Shopping
sexy
for convention
costume.
Shoes. It's going to be great.
Well, cool. Well, I'm going to let you guys get back to the show at the booth here. And real quick, let's throw it out there. The iOS, April 20th is the next show for you guys on stage there.
Yes.
April 13th at Frankenstein's is Cosplay Con. Sam Lee is the MC.
Yeah.
Forbidden Panel will be joining you guys there with our ZKS guys.
Great.
And our zombies. And there will be many, many more things going on beyond that.
Oh, yeah. You know, April 9th, we're performing at the Nerd Mouth. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a Tuesday at 7 now. It's an unusual time slot for us, but that's our first like show at Meltdown, so that'll be fun.
Cool. Great.
Well, thanks for your time, Tommy and Patrick.
Oh,
and we'll post all of the show times and the events coming up with Comic Book Live on ForbiddenPanel.com, so make sure you're checking them out. And you can find a link to their page and their Facebook page on our website and Facebook page as well. See you guys later.
Thank you. Let's get out of here.
And we're back, and that was Patrick and Tommy from Comic Book Live hanging out with us at the FP booth at WonderCon. There was actually a lot going on at Comic-Con, and I don't want to talk about it too much. You guys can read the articles on ForbiddenPanel.com about them. But it was interesting to see, like we were saying, there was Comic-Con was bigger, WonderCon was bigger, but panel-wise, that was one of my bigger gripes about it. It just felt like they weren't putting a whole lot into it. It seemed like they could have brought bigger names or more to it, I think, or they could have promoted panels a little bit more, and they could have put some of them in bigger rooms and others in smaller rooms, and it would have played out okay. Attendance-wise, it was interesting to watch the panels and how some of them were less attended versus others, like Pacific Rim, who we knew was gonna be a big sell-out crowd, or Bruce Campbell at the Evil Dead panel was obviously going to be a sell-out crowd.
However, on the other hand, you know, having not so interesting panels going on did allow for more people on the floor, which allowed for the vendors to be able to spread the word. People like us, you know.
Did it seem like that? Did it seem like that's where they were?
We made good money. We had a lot of people come by the booth, and we sold a lot of stuff during the Evil Dead panel.
Okay.
So I was surprised to find out that the panel was going on. And then, because we were doing so well.
So there was a trade-off.
Yeah.
I guess, which is good. That is good for business side of it. It was just interesting to me to go, like, Friday. So Friday, there was the Batman Year Zero panel with Scott Snyder talking about the new comic coming this summer. And he only did a little bit of hinting at it. He didn't want to talk about it too much just because they're early on in the marketing process of it. But he did say that what the idea was and talking about going from when Bruce's parents die to when he first puts on the mask as Batman, those years, and talking about those and focusing on those. it was cool to hear about it, but it was also half empty, and it was in a large room. And then we walked out of that room, and the panel room next door to it had so many people in it, they had people standing in the hall around the door trying to hear what was going on inside. And so that was kind of disappointing to see that that was happening. And it actually happened throughout the entire weekend. During the podcast with Chris Gore and Comic Book Live panel, that actually happened as well. They had a line going down the hallway upstairs where there were a lot of people who weren't able to get in. But nothing was going on in the larger panel rooms. So it was like a trade-off with how they were doing the rooms and maybe just a revamping that way. But additionally, on Friday, there was also screenings of the Warner Brothers shows, which was kind of interesting. Teen Titans Go, which I know is going to be AJ's new favorite cartoon, Cartoon Network this year.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. I fell asleep actually halfway through the episode they showed. It is so childish and going to put off the fans who watched the shows like Young Justice or Green Lantern animated series that got canceled and are going to be replaced by this. It was disappointing to hear that we're losing that to go to this childish thing. And I know cartoon stations kind of tend to work towards younger audiences, but they did have a large fan base across multiple age dynamics. And so they're basically going to scare away the older fans now. And that was kind of sad. And then they did episodes of Revolution, which was interesting to see. And most people got up and left during that episode.
I want to hate the show, but I can't stop watching it.
Right? Yeah, I've missed the last couple, but to watch the episode that we sat through, it was like, okay, I got to go back and watch those episodes I missed so I can see what's going on now. I think it'll get better as time goes on. Hopefully it'll be one of those series where the first season is hopping along, and there's going to be some mistakes, and there's going to be some changes, and then we're going to come back second season, and they kind of got a little bit more motivation. They're going to keep it going. They're going to get better and better, and then by season three, maybe we'll have like a really good show. But, yeah, this first episode with them coming back was good. Made me want to go back and watch other episodes. But there were fans who got up and left during this panel because they didn't want to watch Revolution. They were there to see the show prior to it, which was Arrow, and I'll go back to that in a second, and Teen Titans Go, and then they got up and left. So Revolution was there, but there was no Q&A right afterwards. That was actually going to be the next day, so it was just a screening of the show. And then they did Arrow before that. Same thing. It was the new episode coming out the week after WonderCon, which was this past Wednesday. And there were a lot of fans there for that, a lot of cheering going on during that show. You can tell that show has a pretty good fan base. And they were really hoping for a Q&A afterwards, I think, because a lot of fans started to get up and go towards this microphone that was in the center of the room and then got directed back to their seats because Revolution was going to start shortly after.
So. Well, honestly, the cast of Arrow immediately went downstairs to the DC booth and was doing signings there.
Well, they did a Q&A a couple days later, yeah. And did it. They didn't go to the screening, which was interesting to me. Normally we see the panel go a little bit longer, and then you get the Q&A right after the show. This time around, they waited till Sunday to do the Arrow Q&A. Saturday was the Revolution Q&A. But you're right, they did come down to the floor and do autograph signings. They did it at the WB booth, you said?
No, at the DC booth.
Oh, the DC booth, okay. So, because there was also a signing booth where a lot of the directors from shows went and did signings every day at the exhibit hall floor, the back corner, instead of a specific booth.
I was actually amazed at how tiny everybody was.
Yeah. Did it make you feel better?
It made me hungry.
Oh. I'm sorry. and then additionally, just some other highlights for Friday. There was some cool swag from Dark Horse passing out lanyards and pins and things, talking about their new series that they're going to be writing based on the original script that George Lucas did for the Star Wars movies. And so that should be a lot of fun later this summer, and we'll hear a lot more about it in the late summer, early fall. And then DC Comics, as well as Capcom, Nintendo, Bandai Namco, were all on the floor doing gaming or gaming tryouts. You could play Injustice: Gods Among Us, which comes out next week, and it was kind of cool to see everybody there playing those, participating, and it was people of all ages, and that was a really popular part of Friday. Jumping over to Saturday real quick, of course, it was sold out Saturday. Pacific Rim was first panel scheduled in the arena that morning. They did The Conjuring from Warner Brothers first, and then brought out Guillermo del Toro. Guillermo del Toro was giddy like a little kid playing with action figures and like smashing them up against each other in this big, huge fight as he's talking about his upcoming Pacific Rim movie. It was hilarious to watch. It was almost hard not to laugh because he was just so excited about it. And they showed the exclusive debut of the new trailer there, which made the movie look even better than it already looks. It's going to be awesome. And he left the floor and went straight down, or left the hall and went straight down to the floor to sign autographs of different robots in the movie. He did posters and he signed them for people who were all in line. And that was really cool of him to do that. He doesn't usually sign posters as quickly as possible. He did one in San Diego a couple years ago. He was only there for about 15 minutes and then he was gone. So it was cool that he sat there and did a large stack for a big group of fans. Following that, they did a Revolution Q&A, which was awesome. They brought out a lot of the cast and they mostly turned it into questions. And there was a lot of joking among the cast, but just left it to audience questions about the show and what it's like to work with all the weapons and what's it like to work without electricity. The one question that I kept wanting to hear, but we never got an answer to, or reference to, was why does everybody look so clean, shaven, and why do you come across all these nice looking areas like well manicured lawns and things like that in places that they go to? And that's the question that comes up during the Walking Dead panels a lot too. So I, one of these years I'm gonna get up in the line early enough to ask this question.
Why are you so pretty?
I was just, why are you guys all clean shaven? Where are you guys going to get these shaves? Why has everyone got haircuts, you know?
Don't you know that if you get nicked and there's no penicillin, you know, infection?
Uh-huh. So I'm sure they've got some massive answer team in the back working on it for when they do finally answer the question, but it was cool. And then the director on the show was there about Revolution, and he said that a lot of the show episodes coming up are going to be focusing on this debate of how necessary is electricity, how necessary is electrical power to our lives. Is it better to try and get the power back on, or should they leave it off? And I kind of left the audience with that when they went off stage, and there was a lot of hush conversations going back and forth about it, so that was kind of cool. And then getting toward the end of the day, of course, Sony brought their panel, which included Evil Dead at the very end. But they came out with This Is the End from Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who came out in cosplay costumes and kind of played a little joke and then showed a new trailer for the film, which was hilarious. And it's cool to see them playing themselves, slightly exaggerated. Jonah Hill kind of plays this ditzy guy version of Jonah Hill, even though he's a recent Oscar nominee. Michael Cera plays this complete douchebag in the movie, and even wore his own windbreaker as part of his character, which was a big joke, I guess, on set. And they kind of hinted at it on stage, but we learn more about it in the movie. And then they talked, of course, about what it was like to have Hermione in the movie with them. You know, you have all these jackass comedians on there, and then you bring someone like her to the screen, and it was just a funny dynamic. So I'm sure AJ will be first in line to see that one.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just for her, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. And then, of course, the Bruce Campbell Show came out, also known as the new Evil Dead movie. Bruce Campbell, the director, Fede Alvarez, the cast, including Jane Levy, was on stage to show a new clip that we haven't seen on TV yet. That was funny because everybody in the audience was kind of cringing at the scene. You hear the sound of flesh being cut, which was unsettling after sitting in an arena all day in the dark, and which added to the scare factor for which I went into the movie this past week to watch. And you can listen to our podcast about Evil Dead on ForbiddenPanel.com. But it was cool to see them all on stage and to talk about the experiences of doing realistic horror and what it was like to throw up on each other. And then to hear Bruce Campbell compare making this movie versus back when he made the original Evil Dead. And how much fun he had with it, but how much happier he was it didn't take him the 4 years to make the movie, or gaffes, like seeing the garden hose where the blood was pouring out and things like that. He did a lot of humorous and witty remarks about the film, and just encouraged everybody to go see it and to keep watching the Evil Dead films. He's hoping that at some point in time they will get to cross over this new Evil Dead universe with his Army of Darkness Evil Dead universe in a movie somewhere down the line. That was pretty much Saturday. Saturday was spent the entire day in that arena, which was comfortable, cooled at a nice temperature, which was kind of cool, instead of weird, like, you know, air conditioner went on, air conditioner went off. Security guards, of course, were assholes. I will not hold back talking about that. They had this special team called the CCIS, and yes, I'm using their name because they were assholes, if you didn't get that the first time around. They didn't know what was going on. They thought they were hotshots because they were all wearing black suits. They were complete morons when you asked them a question about something that was going on inside there. But if you did something that they didn't like you doing, they sure as shit acted like they knew what they were doing and were ready to push you out of the arena. At more than one occasion, I actually had to get a Comic-Con staff member, international staff member, to put them in their place. And it was ridiculous that I know that it's hard to get enough security contracted to do these large shows, but really, there's got to be some kind of screening process where everyone on the team needs at least an IQ of 90, you know, something. I mean, it's ridiculous, the idiots that they hire for San Diego and that we've now seen at WonderCon. That's not to say the rest of the security teams that were out there were bad, but the ones that were in these black suits, they wanted to look cool in a suit, and they looked like Rent-A-Mall, or they sounded like Rent-A-Mall cops, and they acted like it. So that was disappointing. But for the most part, the arena was really well ran, plenty of seats, three levels, two balconies, which was kind of cool to be able to look down and see the screen. The screen was large enough to be able to see from the nosebleed seats, and the seats were very comfortable. You would have been happy sitting there all day, AJ.
Why you got to bring it back to me? What do I do?
Because I know how you like a comfortable chair.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what I have James for.
Good game. The Sunday final day, of course, the biggest panel of the day was Josh Whedon and Clark Gregg showing up. Nathan Fillion was also supposed to show up, but was not able to due to illness.
Josh. His name is Joss. Not
Josh.
Josh.
Everybody, I didn't say Josh. I said Josh.
You said Josh.
No, there was no shh.
I'll replay it for you.
I wouldn't disrespect him that way. Okay. But the two of them on stage, Josh Whedon and Clark Gregg, both had enough fan base in the audience to fill in the gap for Nathan Fillion not being there. I know it was disappointing for a lot of people, but it was obvious that fangirls were there to see them and scream and talk about this movie Much Ado About Nothing, which is Whedon's Shakespeare adaptation. And it was met with lots of clapping. No standing ovation, but lots of clapping. And then, of course, naturally, questions came up about the movie and then the new Marvel's S.H.I.E.L.D. show, which they wouldn't release almost anything about except for, yes, Coulson's on it. and that was about it. They didn't even talk about the new name. So, they were keeping a lot of that news out of the WonderCon presses.
That's going to be Comic-Con info right there.
Well, I think they're going to save it for D23 is what I'm worried about. But we can talk about that as we get closer to San Diego and D23 this summer. And then finally, the last thing I went to on Sunday was the DC 52 panel. It was a repeat of Friday's All Access panel, which was also about half attended. But they repeated on Sunday for more fans who weren't able to be there on Friday. And it was kind of cool. They talked about changes coming to different comic books, obviously a little bit about Robin being killed off and then who's going to replace them, how we're going to replace that. They talked about the return of Raven to the Teen Titans series, and she's going to have a whole different background and story and outlook on how she is a hero. Jonah Hex is going to be joined by Sheriff Booster Gold in the All-Star and Western comics. Jimmy Palmiotti talked about how he's really making Booster Gold more like a circus character in the All-Star Western. Obviously, time traveled back to early Gotham, where Jonah Hex has been set up doing tasks that he's been working on in All-Star Western. But the team-up will be hilarious, but at the same time, action-heavy as well. And then after they finished talking about comic books, they aired the new Lego Batman animated movie. And for those of you who've played Lego Batman 2, the video game, you have seen the entire movie. The movie was actually made first, and then they used clips from the movie in the video game. When the video game was able to be produced a lot faster and brought to the market, they're just now bringing the DVD download and Blu-ray to fans May 21st, 2013. Gary Murnau was there from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment to push this out there. It's hilarious. If you haven't played the video game, you should definitely check it out. If you want to see Lego Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern, and laugh a little, go get the movie when it comes out. And watch it. It was funny to see them on stage and to take all those clips from the video game and put them together in a full-length movie instead of just having to wait as you progress through the video game to watch them was really cool, too. But if you have played the video game, you've seen the movie before. So, and that's really all that I've got to quickly sum up, or not so quickly sum up, WonderCon.
Well, alrighty then. I didn't have a chance to sit with in any of the panels whatsoever, so I can't comment. but yeah. All right, guys. Well, in that case, we'll go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do a wrap-up.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art. Thanks.
And we're back. So that was WonderCon. Hope you guys didn't fall asleep listening to that. And definitely go check out ForbiddenPanel.com and some of the news coverage we did for the weekend and listen to our movie podcast to learn about Evil Dead a little bit more, too. But now we're going to flip it around on AJ. AJ was at the Forbidden Panel booth all weekend, and at the Forbidden Panel booth, you guys did some book releases.
Yes. At WonderCon this past weekend, we saw the release of two new books coming from Forbidden Panel. The first one is actually number two in a series put out by Daniel Whitfield called The Plagued. He finally got around to doing the second issue, and we released it this weekend at WonderCon. Fantastic book. The art, Daniel's art just keeps getting better and better every time I see it. And the story is highly depressing and will cause you to want to quit suicide. So I urge you, please go out and buy it right away.
And it's available?
Yeah, the book is available on the Forbidden Panel store. You can go out there and purchase it right now in digital format for $3. We'll soon have it available in paper format for you to purchase. But until that time, I said a dollar or I say $3?
$3.
It's a buck. $1 digital download on the Forbidden Panel store. So you can't argue for a dollar. Again, the art is fantastic. Daniel did a great job with the writing and the art. Camila Lares did the cover. I believe she did some of the inks and colors as well. So That was very well received during the weekend of WonderCon. A lot of people seemed to enjoy it. Daniel was there smiling like a little girl, signing autographs and stuff like that. But he also pulled double duty. I said duty. in the release of a new collaboration book that we put out called Forbidden Tales. Forbidden Tales, it's kind of like the old school Tales from the Crypt. You meet the host, who is a witch, and she tells you different stories that happen, horrible stories that happen throughout the world. This one is a collaboration of, not collaboration, what's the other word? Anthology of three different stories written and created by three different artists and writers. The first one is by John Narcomi, and the second one is done by Jimmy Purcell, and the book is then wrapped up by Daniel Whitfield's story. Our first effort into trying to put out an anthology book, I think it went fantastic. We pretty much sold out while we were at the booth. The guys were down there all weekend signing and stuff. It is available on the store for digital
download.
And you
guys are, like...
Go ahead.
And you guys are going to, like you were saying, you plan to do future ones as well, correct?
Absolutely, except we may change the format a little bit, but that'll be a surprise when you see the second one. The book is available for digital download on the website, on the store. There's a coupon code. If you go into the release page of the book, there's a code there available for you to get $2 off of it. It's a 55-page book, now available with coupon for $3. Without the coupon, it's $5. So you've got about another week that the coupon will be live. After that, we'll take it down. The book will continue to sell for $5. But you're going to want to read this book. You don't want to miss it. Fantastic art from all three creators and artists. They brought their A game, and I can't be more excited with how the book turned out. So, yeah, WonderCon saw the release of both books. They did really great. Fans seemed to love it. I got to tell you, though, the highlight of my weekend, we decided to raffle off a canvas that I had all the artists and creators that were sitting at the booth draw on. You're looking at about 10 different artists, including myself. I'm a writer. that drew on this canvas, and it was fantastic the way it came out. We sold raffle tickets for $2. When we had the drawing on Sunday at 4 o'clock, the winner was there. You should have heard her screaming and hollering and jumping up and down, and she was just so happy to have won that wonderful piece of art that came out. So I wanted to congratulate her, Valentina, for winning the canvas. So
cool. Yeah. And that was, so you guys are basically, you're doing these books. I find it interesting about the way you guys are doing the pricing. I mean, only $1 for a digital download. Most companies, you'll see them charge the same print price as these downloads. So these are actually really good deals on a comic book, on a digital comic book.
Right, because for us, I mean, the production value of the digital comic book digitally is way less more expensive than actually printing it on paper. So I figure why, you know, try and screw the fans over by charging them the same price that we would for a paper product when it's just going to be downloaded digitally onto their tablets or computers or whatnot. So for $1, you can come and be a part of the Forbidden Panel universe and check out our books. If you find us live, especially I believe next weekend, we're going to be at Frankenstein's Cosplay Con.
Correct.
If you come by and stop by the booth and say hi, you'll be able to get a coupon that we are offering where you can download the zero issue of ZKS for free off the store. So
another one of the big Forbidden Panel books,
yeah,
that are out there. But it's just really cool to see that. I definitely think that independent publishers are more common sense in that, in the way that you guys don't charge as much as, you know, DC Comics tries to charge you $4 for a book that just came out this week in digital print, as well as go pay $4 in the store to pick it up, and that's just disappointing. I think it's cool to be able to do both and not pay an arm and a leg for both.
For them, it's all about the money. For us, we just want people to read our work and enjoy it. You know, we're just trying to put the name out and have fun with it and share our joy with everybody else. And, you know, I'm not going to try to, you know, price gouge you for that fact. I'm just happy somebody wants to read our work, so.
Well, that is awesome. Definitely check out the ForbiddenPanel.com store. When you get to ForbiddenPanel.com, there is a tab at the top that says Store, and then to the comic section, and you will find Forbidden Tales and The Plague Number 2, as well as the rest of the Forbidden Panel catalog or library. And then after that, you also have some other news to talk about from some fun TV shows you've been watching.
I don't want to say so much news, but, you know,
reviews.
Discuss the reviews, yeah. This past weekend at WonderCon, saw the ending of one series and the beginning of another. The ending of the series, not series so much, but the season finale of The Walking Dead. So just so you guys know right off the bat, from here on out, spoiler alert, if you have not seen either The Walking Dead finale, the first episode of season 3 of Game of Thrones, or the first episode of Hannibal, skip now or turn us off.
I'll be right back.
I will not be
call
offended.
Me when you're done.
I will not be offended. Walking Dead series finale. I have to say that this season has been kind of a disappointment. Up until about halfway through the season, I thought the pacing and everything, the way everything was going, was great. The drama was high. There was action. The zombies are still a part of it. It was exactly what I had hoped for in a TV show. And then, about 2 episodes before the finale, they did this lull where Rick and the governor sat in a warehouse and talked for the entire hour. It was boring. I understand why. I get it. It was very relative to the story. But they could have done it better. And it just went kind of downhill from there. So again, spoiler, in the second to the last episode, we saw Merle die. The way he went out like a man. Like, I had to give it up. He went out like a boss. However, seeing him die so soon before the season finale was kind of a letdown, because I think everybody was anxious to see the Dixon brothers finally go and kick some ass, something that had been teased and alluded to throughout the season but never actually come to fruition.
he saw how much Merle gave a crap about Daryl and how much he respected and loved him. However, they never got to fight side by side. It's like in wrestling, when The Undertaker and Kane get together and clear the ring, it's fucking awesome because they're such a destructive force. I would have loved to have seen that with Daryl and Merle at the end, you know, and we got cheated out of it. I felt robbed out of it. And then the season finale came. Nobody cared about the fact that Andrea died. I know I didn't. I thought they'd drug it out as much as humanly possible. And then she's sitting there barefoot trying to save herself, and her fucking feet. First off, I hate feet. Second off, her feet are manicured and painted in the zombie apocalypse. What the frack?
It's all about the little things.
And my understanding was that at one of the panels in WonderCon or somewhere, Talking Dead, after the show, they even brought that up. Why is her feet manicured in the zombie apocalypse? That's stupid. So, yeah, needless to say, I was let down by the season three. It left it wide open for the governor to return. And you got to be introduced into new characters that got absorbed into Rick's group after the fall of Woodbury. But honestly, it felt like they filmed the episode before realizing that they got renewed for next season. So they wrapped everything up real quick and real tight and real pretty-like, but with as little excitement as humanly possible. It was like, oh, okay. Is this Little House on the Prairie we're watching? I don't get it. So
they gave you closure, but it wasn't, like, great closure.
It wasn't like, fuck yeah, it was awesome. No, it was, really? You know, so I was a little disappointed in that. I am still anxious to see the next season. Let me give you an example. Okay, so last season of Walking Dead ended violence, death, fighting, and the premiere of Michonne. I mean, it ended, Michonne's sitting there, she's got the two zombies on the chain. You were excited to see next season three, or this season. You know, this season ended, and you're like, so what now? Like, it left nothing to lead you into the next season or to make you even want to watch it. As far as they were concerned, it just felt like, well, cool. They live happily ever after. Fucking let's move on to Mad Men. You know?
Yeah.
So that's my feelings on that matter. Game of Thrones also started their next season this year, that same day. I did not have a chance to watch it. However, they did a press release this past couple days and saying that it was already been renewed for season four. If you don't follow the news or the stories at all, or even Game of Thrones, if you do follow them, then you would have known that season three and four are one book split up into two seasons because it's such a meaty book. So announcing that season four will come, that Game of Thrones has already been renewed, is kind of like, well, no shit. You know, like, we've known this for a while. They filmed both seasons back to back, so it's obvious this was going to happen. However, I am still excited to see it. I can't wait to sit down and watch it. I just haven't had a chance. I just need the right environment. I need, you know, the right setting in my house to watch it, and I just didn't get around to it. But moving on to the other premiere that I watched this week, Hannibal. For those of you that don't know, Hannibal is about Hannibal Lecter, and it takes place after the prequel movie Hannibal and before he gets arrested, Red Dragon. When I was getting ready to watch the show, like I had it on my PlayStation 3, and I saw it, and I was getting ready to watch it, and I was debating watching it. I wasn't really excited. I thought I was going to be let down by Hannibal. Until I saw Patton Oswalt's Twitter that he stated that, holy shit, Hannibal was fantastic. Damn you, I hate you. I don't have enough time for a new TV series. And I'm like, ooh, well, maybe I should check it out then. Sat down, watched it. The fucking show is awesome. It is unlike any other TV show you've seen out there. Visuals, the effects, the just everything. I mean, you already go into the show knowing who the hell Hannibal Lecter is, so you know what this guy's about. However, none of the movies really showed you Will Graham. If you remember in Red Dragon or the original Manhunter, the reason Will Graham was doing this job was because he was able to completely immerse himself into the killer's mind and act out and see what he sees and empathize with the killers. But it doesn't really touch too much base on it. You only get that for an hour and a half, you know, maybe 2 hours. Even in the books, it doesn't really delve too deep into it. However, this series does exactly that. It starts off with him sliding into the consciousness of a serial killer to try and see exactly what he saw. And the effect that they use, you know, he walks into a crime scene, there's blood, there's dead bodies everywhere, and then this wash comes over the screen, and one dead body's gone. Another wash, another dead body's gone, another wash, and the blood reverses off the wall back into the person, and then he washes outside, and suddenly he's like, all right, go. And it shows him kicking in the door, shows him shooting somebody and tells you why he shot them there, shows him shooting somebody else and why he shot him there, and all this other stuff, and that's how he comes across his methodical process of how he catches serial killers. And so I thought it was awesome, just the way that it was shot, the way it was written, everything was fantastic about it. I didn't even mind the fact that you can't understand Mads Mikkelsen's, I can't think of the word.
Accent? Dialogue?
Accent. You can't really understand it. But get over it real quick, because it's kind of like when you're watching the BBC show, like Misfits. It takes you a couple minutes, and then that's all you can hear is the English accent. And so it takes a minute, but yeah, Hannibal is going to be fantastic. My concern is that the amount of episodes in the season. As we saw with The Walking Dead I had just described, so last season Walking Dead was 12 episodes, and it was 18. So an extra 6 episodes, and it caused them to burn out. Okay. I'm concerned that with Hannibal, if they have any more than 10, maybe 15 episodes, they're going to give too much away. It's going to feel like burnout, and then at the end of it, they're just going to run out of steam. It's going to be like a Stephen King book. Kind of the problem I'm having with Revolution right now. 6 episodes in, they already got power back.
Yeah.
So, like, what now? You know, and that's what I'm worried about Hannibal. It's so good that I do not want them to burn out. So it's going to be interesting to see the inventive ways that they continue the storyline and do their best to keep the audience entertained. The way they're going to do that is by short season orders. So I'm anxious to see how that happens. But if you get a chance, check out the first episode of Hannibal. Martin, you and I kind of both have this 3-episode, 3-issue thing where we give, you know, comic books or shows before deciding if we like it or not. This one took me 3 minutes.
Wow.
I'm going to be watching it for the rest of the season.
Now, the episode that they're doing them, does it feel like it's going to be a open and shut episode every time, or are they going to carry across like a lot of to-be-continued episodes?
I would like to see, kind of like Bones did around season 3, where the Gormagon was the villain of the season, and they, you know, were continuing to solve cases, and every now and then coming across the Gormagon's cases, you know, how he interacts, and it wasn't until the end of the season that they captured him or what have you, had a finality with that. That's how I would like to see it. And it seems like in this, they're kind of dealing with the bad guy of the week. However, I don't remember if he was captured or not. But at the same time, how this serial killer is doing things, you see. Okay, I'm going to give it away right now. You see Hannibal Lecter copying that, so they learn how to be a better serial killer.
Okay.
So I don't know how, you know, what the finality of this that is. I think that they're going to try and take the series up to where he finally arrests him and see him in man. But how long that takes is going to be is up in the air, you know?
Yeah. Well, that could go with timing for the seasons, too. Do they make it last? Like, do they do one of those things where they know they're only going to go 5 seasons?
Right.
And build up to that? Or do they just keep on going to the point where they're like, okay, we're going to get canceled this season. Now he's a bad guy.
Right. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air, but I know they're on a short timeline because Mads Mikkelsen ain't getting any younger.
Yeah.
He's already a fairly older actor. One other thing. don't eat while watching this show.
That's good to know. That's an important thing for me to remember.
I have a strong stomach. I am okay with it. However, afterwards, the thought of having any meat kind of bothered me, so I had a pudding.
Oh! Wow.
So.
Well, it sounds like they were all really interesting episodes, but not necessarily always the best episodes. It sounds like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead left something to be wanted, and Hannibal left something to be wanted, but in a good way.
Well, you know, again, I didn't get a chance to watch Game of Thrones, so I'm still anxious to see it. I know it's going to be awesome because there's never been a bad episode of Game of Thrones for me. However, I said the same thing about Fringe, and look where Fringe is now.
Yeah.
However, Walking Dead did let me down. I'm not excited about the next season. If anything, I'm excited to watch it just to see how they fix the problems that they had with this season.
It'll be interesting to see, especially the way they've changed showrunners and just casting. You know, how many deaths did they have this year? Yeah. You know, it was tons of deaths with characters this year. So how do they change that next year, or do they just keep that same formula and blow it again next season? It'll be interesting to see. So, but I'm definitely excited for Hannibal. I will make sure that my TiVo is getting it for sure. The line was just too long to get in, and that room was filling up way too fast at WonderCon. It seated maybe 150 to 200 people, and there was a lot more than that in the lines. So it was disappointing to not be able to make it into the panel, but I will definitely be making sure I'm watching it at home while not eating at all.
Eating, seriously.
Like, I don't have a strong stomach, so that's good to know.
You've been warned.
Yes. Well, awesome. I think that pretty much wraps up episode 114 for us, AJ. It's been fun. Let's do it again sooner than later.
You know, we always say that at the end of each episode, but we lost.
I think we change it. This is, here, we're declaring it now. We'll change it, and we'll see you guys at 115 very soon.
You know, I do want to put something out there before we wrap up real quick. April 17th, the Inland Empire Comic Book Club that Martin and I host.
Oh,
and kind of changing things up a little bit. It's not so much that we're changing the name or the basic principles behind the comic book club. However, the location is going to be a lot more interesting in that we're doing sushi and comics. We're going to go meet up at a local sushi restaurant, have some sushi, talk about the food, and geek out like little nerds at a candy convention about the comic books that we are reading. So if you are interested in joining us, please find our Facebook page, Inland Empire Comic Book Club, as well as our meetup page, and just come on down and have a great time. It's fun discussion about comic books while eating fantastic sushi.
Very cool. Our little plug there. And yeah, with that, check out ForbiddenPanel.com for all our events and the places we'll be, and our podcast episodes, as well as articles from conventions, shows, comic book reviews, and much more. We'll see you guys on the next panelcast.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.